Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be here with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, pastor of Shalom Shalom Congregation, a small congregation, but a powerfully effective one because it's due to what you guys do that allow us to go to Israel. And, you know, it gets discouraging sometimes when you put a lot of hard effort into researching to give a sound biblical teaching, whether it's a topic from the scripture or a verse-by-verse study, and there's not a lot of people out there. But I'm reminded of what God said in Zechariah when they were attempting to rebuild the temple, which would be known as Zerubbabel's temple, later enlarged by Herod the Great. And they didn't have enough manpower, and the returning Jewish exiles from Babylon and Persia were discouraged, and God spoke through Zechariah and told them, do not despise the day of small things. So we should not be discouraged when there's not a lot of interest or congregating around the Word of God today. And when you preach the Word of God in an uncompromised fashion, most of the time you will not have a big crowd. Most of the time you're not going to be an abounding, financially affluent ministry. Now, if you stroke people's egos and tickle their ears and water down the Word of God, more times than not, you're going to have a big crowd show up. Now, there are exceptions on the opposite side of that. There are a few stout, sound ministers today who do preach the Word of God, and they have a relatively large church. But by and large, those are exceptions rather than the rule. And it's a reminder of a neglected and often ignored truth in the Scripture, and that is that God's redeemed people are a small people, i.e. a remnant. One of these days, I'm going to do a topical teaching from the Scripture on the doctrine of the remnant. And this, what we have going on here, is a microcosmic example that indeed Jesus' flock is little, as he said in the Gospel of Luke. So with that said, we were on schedule to continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians, finishing up tonight the last two items that make up the spiritual armor of God. That would be the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And providence obviously allowed me to commit a faux pas. I forgot to bring my notes. And so I'm going to preempt that and I'll do the newsletter and how you can help us support this ministry at the end of this tonight instead of the beginning. So the Lord allowed this so that I could address something that I was going to address anyway for about 5 minutes. So I've changed that format, and I want to talk to you about the coming persecution in this country through the deep state or the ensconced agents of statism in their desire to suppress the Christian faith. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, I was informed 2 days ago by Dr. August Rosado that the 70 or odd YouTube teachings that we've done in Israel have been, some of them have been taken down arbitrarily by YouTube because of insensitive content. And these were 12 of the YouTube videos. And right away, I knew why they took them down. First of all, YouTube is run, and this could cost me my YouTube channel by exposing them. And guess what? I don't care. They are going to be exposed by the rebuking light of God's Word. We don't have a lot of followers on there anyway. But anyway, they took 12 of these YouTube videos down that we did in Israel. And you got to remember, when we go to Israel, we don't sit by the pool in reclining chairs, drinking Mai Tais, checking out the Israeli girls. Our work day is 12 hours plus over there. It first consists of going out and sharing the gospel with the Jewish people in Hebrew, Habesarah, and also, like the Gideons, a great organization, we distribute Hebrew Bibles to those who are open, explaining from those scriptures the Messiah that is revealed in the Tanakh, disclosed and identified in the Brit Hadashah to be Jesus of Nazareth. And then after that, I journal That's another 2 or 3 hours. And once we finish with witnessing, we go to a Bible location and teach from the Word of God, usually an event in the Scripture that happened at that location, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And it's a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And then the progressive radical leftists of YouTube took down 12 videos. August wasn't able to get, August Rosado wasn't able to get some of those videos before they were deleted. He's got, I think, 4 or 5 that he knows they removed. And of course, knowing how the unregenerate, sin-loving mind thinks, which, of course, that's most of the world and most of your businesses owned by such, and YouTube's no exception, I asked him, I bet you the teaching we did in front of Lot's cave, tradition says that's where Lot and his daughters hid, right outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. I said, I bet you that video was taken down too, wasn't it? He said, yes, it was. So now you know why it was taken down, because in our love for the lost, and that includes the homosexual, we do preach against that sin and call it out. Homosexuality is a sin, and those who are indulging in it need to repent and put their trust in the gospel. Jesus loves you enough that he paid the penalty for that sin, as well as all other sins that sinners commit, so that they can be saved, whether it be homosexuality, fornication, gossip, lying, cheating, murdering. These are all sins that separate you from God and justly bring down his wrath upon you. Now, that's going to be considered insensitive, and they might take my YouTube channel off. So be it. At this point, I'm more concerned about preaching the Word of God. So they took these down through their heavy-handed censorship. And now it's come home to roost. We've heard censorship happening out there, right, with other people. Now it's impacting this ministry and Dr. Rosado's ministry of Today in Bible Prophecy. By the way, they also demonetized him. And they wouldn't tell him what insensitive material was on there. And yet, you can go on YouTube and there are far more extreme, radical cases on the right that's bad, that they continue on without any punitive action by YouTube. And yet, because we dispassionately, though with conviction, preached against certain sexual sins, we've been deemed insensitive. And I went on and looked on at their policy. We were probably deemed hateful. Therefore, insensitive. So these 12 videos have to be removed. And by the way, he's already gone through the appeal process, and it was just, you know, a waste of time. And August already knew the outcome, before he appealed, but he did it anyway as a matter of conscience. And they do not tell you why they censored and removed those videos. And you can't go to anybody at all. It's really a write out of George Orwell's 1984 novel, or Franz Kafka's The Trial. You ever read those two books? It's a state-run media that censors you and then prosecutes you without telling you exactly what crime you committed. But see, we are living in an Orwellian post-Christian America. This is not a Christian nation. A Christian nation does not slaughter 70 million unborn children and then wipe their face like the impudent whore of Proverbs and say, I've done nothing wrong. And that Holocaust is still ongoing. And so I expect it's only a matter of time before YouTube will take me down as well, because I'm associated with August in our mutual teaching of the uncompromised Word of God. And no doubt we were also taken off because we did take on the false religion of Islam. And if you've ever done your research, Allah is actually, before he became the Islamic God, was actually one of the gods of Arabic polytheism, the moon god. And when we would be teaching at a location, another video they took down was at the Mount of Olives. Well, I remember when we were at the Mount of Olives on one teaching video, the muezzin started bellowing forth from the minaret. And it was real loud, and I think I mentioned, and I think August commented on it. I said, folks, we apologize for the loud sound in the background. That's the muezzin praying from the minaret. and they are they don't realize in their ignorance that they're actually praying to the moon god, who they've christened the Islamic god. And if you do your research in pre-Islamic Arabia, there were over 360 deities, and each deity had a idol represented in the Kaaba, the black box building in Mecca. And anyway, so after this video, my YouTube thing will probably be taken down. Honestly, social media hasn't been much help anyway. Our donors and supporters are outside of that realm, so there's a lot of hype about social media being the cure-all for getting more donations. Don't buy it for a minute. If you already don't have an established name, whether you're in the world or in the church, it's not going to do much. So one thing is for sure, this ministry will continue to preach the Word of God, whether it's here at Shalom or from my home and coming to you from my study. The Word of God will go forth until this sinner saved by grace dies or the rapture happens. And nothing's going to stop us. Certainly not the draconian censorship of YouTube. So it's all anonymous. They do everything anonymous. They censor you. They remove your videos. They give you ambiguous reasons as to why they remove those videos. And it's Orwellian. It is Orwellian. And this brings me to the fact that this is the beginning of the persecution of born-again, Bible-believing, teaching and preaching Christians. This is the beginning of it. It's already grown out of control in Europe, where they're removing street preachers, abortion protesters, teachers who teach against transgenderism. They are arresting them and taking them to jail. And that is a preview of what's going to come here. I've said for decades, the day will come when Christians like myself, who publicly preach the Word of God, will be fined for committing hate crimes against the gay community, or hence being homophobic, or will also be censored for hate crimes against Islam. They'll say you're an Islamophobic. No, I'm just pointing out biblically why that religion is not from God. It cannot save you. And it proclaims a God that is not the God of the Bible. And so I think these are the two main reasons these 12 videos were taken down. Some progressive radical leftists at YouTube saw them and decided to punitively act and remove those videos. But remember what Paul told Timothy, the Word of God is not bound. We will continue to preach the Word of God, first and foremost in obedience to Him, to glorify Him, and then secondarily out of love to see the sinner repent and be saved. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this because we've got an antipathetic agenda against the LGBTQ or other non-Christians. Not at all. We love you enough to warn you that your sinful lifestyle will result in your destruction and your damnation. And God, as God commissioned Ezekiel to be a watchman on the wall, and if he didn't warn them, God said, I will require their blood at your hands. We're in the same template here, folks. We have to warn the unsaved of the perils of rejecting the gospel and the optimum blessing of accepting the gospel, but at the same time acknowledging you've committed sin. Whether that sin is sexual, moral, etc., and you need to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. So we don't apologize for that. Now, going forward, we plan to, if we can somehow figure out which of these 12 videos were taken down due to their authoritarian censorship, we are going to redo them. And we'll re-put them back up there in defiance of their dictatorial, out of control censorship. And then if they persist in this, then we'll probably have to go to another social media platform like Rumble. Since they're a privately owned company, I believe, you can't take these people to court for violating the Bill of Rights and your First Amendment. I think I've got that right. You can't do that. But they nonetheless show their hand by being contrary to the spirit of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the First Amendment. These are anti-American, anti-Constitution, petty dictators who have christened themselves to be the lords of life. And it's not going to get any better. So this is the beginning of the coming persecution. How far that persecution goes and how it is intensified before the rapture, I don't know. But I fully expect there, if the right candidate does get elected, Donald Trump, then that can be stayed for 4 years. But don't kid yourself and think that when he gets elected, America is going to become a moral paragon and a panacea of constitutionality. It might for maybe 4 years, and even then, they're going to fight you tooth and nail against that kind of thing. But this country eventually will go socialist slash communist, and they will start targeting people who don't agree with them and voice their dissent either through the scriptures or through political differences. But Christians are definitely on the docket. Born-again Bible-believing Christians, not these false Christians, and there are a lot of them in evangelicalism, who just go with the flow and preach the gospel of love without including the mandate of repentance, holiness, wrath, and hellfire to those who reject the gospel. So it is coming, and it's already here. And now this ministry is feeling the effects of the persecution of censorship against Christians who, out of love for the lost, tell them the truth about God's word concerning their lifestyle, their worldview, and their false religion. And that's part of spiritual warfare. And we have the accoutrements here. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we have the helmet of salvation. But we're not going to do that tonight. And I already told you why. But next week we will be addressing those things. And this warfare does not call for violence against enemies of the gospel. Because, as Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of vain imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I don't want to be misquoted like he's rallying Christians to a call of arms for violent resistance. I'm not saying that at all. But there is a place for revolution. Just ask the founding fathers about that. Just ask the Maccabees about that. Just ask the Israelites, led by Joshua, against the wicked, depraved Canaanites about that. But that's another subject altogether. But we are living in a post-Christian nation now. And I've said this before. And it's not going to get friendlier for Christians. Listen, when you got the DOJ targeting Roman Catholics for their conservative beliefs on abortion, if they come after them, they're going to come after you. And you see increasing anti-Semitism expanding and growing in the platform of the Democratic Party. Those are all siren calls of concern. They are telltale signs of a nation in serious moral decline. And it all goes back to the time when Americans, the government, and then through its influence on the people following after them, when the government turned its back on its Christian heritage in this country. One can argue, when did that happen? Some say the 1960s. Some say after the Civil War. Some say when the military-industrial intelligence complex killed a president in this city in 1963 and then covered it up and are still covering. I don't know the beginning of point when this actually happened, but it's accelerating fast. And this is just a small example of the coming persecution, this censorship of Christians on social media platforms, because the secular left who runs most of these platforms doesn't like the philosophy, ideology, or theology that's being proposed. And Mark Zuckerberg, who looks like Data on Star Trek, when he admits that he, under pressure from the government, censored the truth about Hunter Biden's laptop, he's just covering himself in case Trump wins, and he doesn't want to have to face any prosecutorial consequences for his illegal censorship. And yet YouTube is getting away with it every day, and Facebook. So I fully expect, by saying these, what they would deem inflammatory things, insensitive things, hateful things, wouldn't surprise me if they knock me off Facebook or YouTube. But if they do that, then we'll have to go to lesser social platforms that are not as popular and not as populated like YouTube and Facebook. But I'm certainly not going to let their censorship get in the way of proclaiming the Word of God. And when you do that, there's going to be a price to pay, a financial price, a physical price, a reputational price. And you've got to be willing to pay that price if you're really sold out to the Lord. And so all that hard work through blood, sweat, and tears to bring you from the actual location of instant scripture in Israel, they are now cutting into that. So then there might be some more things that they do. Other people who've been affected by this, before this happened with August and I's, Dr. Daniel Woodhead, Chancellor of Schofield Biblical Institute, Facebook was editing his sermons just without even consulting him. They were editing his sermons, and it got to the point where he couldn't put them on there because they were editing so much that it was skewing his message. So he went off there. I forgot which platform he chose, but it's looking like it's going in that direction. So this election will be a barometer for where this nation wants to go. And I believe as we get closer to the tribulation period and the advent of Antichrist, America will have to diminish as a world power. It will. The dollar will have to become second rate. So maybe this is the beginning of that dissipation. I don't know. When, again, it's all speculation at this point. But the fact that censorship is being allowed in this country, not just by YouTube, but even at higher levels of our government, is a telltale sign that dictatorship could be around the corner. One particular party influencing and fixing elections so they can stay in power in perpetuity. That's a sign. Those are signs of dictatorships in the making. If you want to see that and compare it with what's going on now, I suggest you study the way Adolf Hitler came to power. They started out as a small, insignificant party, and gradually they were powerful enough that once they used the democratic process in the Weimar Republic, once they got into the majority position that propelled Hitler into power, they eliminated all other dissenting parties, declared emergency powers, and those emergency powers were implemented in 1933 when Hitler came to power, and they were never revoked by him. They were by force when he died in the bunker in the end of April 1945. So, and you know, you're going to say to me, well, this is America. That can't happen here. That's precisely what what they want you to think, until it's too late. You know, I think of the Jews, many of them in Europe, when Hitler was doing what he was doing with them, at first they couldn't believe that such a thing could happen, until it was too late, and many of them were carted off in the trains to the crematorium. So this is just the beginning of this. This draconian dictatorial censorship of biblical truth is the beginning, and it's only going to get worse And I've said for decades that they would ensconce, promote, and give a platform to sexual deviancy. I said in the mid-80s that they would legalize gay marriage, and I was laughed and scoffed at. Right up to 5 years before it happened. And I'm not a prophet, but I know the Word of God foretells that in the last days there will be a Sodomite revolution. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be before the coming of the Son of Man. Lot was in the midst of a wicked city given over to the depravity of homosexuality and other forms of sexual immorality. And it's here. We are living in the days of Lot in America as well as the rest of the world. And the fact that it's unfolding now is, it's not dark, but it's a sure sign that the dawning millennial day is coming, and that Jesus Christ's coming is closer and closer, when he will establish a righteous kingdom on the earth. Sin will not be tolerated, and any rebellion will be put down immediately, and there will be no more poverty, violence, starvation, famine. But under that millennial reign, there will be perfect justice, prosperity for all, no more anti-Semitism, and so forth. So that's the day we look for. Don't fall into the trap, and whether explicitly or tacitly, don't fall into the trap. Well, if we just elect the right candidate, everything is going to be right again. And that's naive. Because you remember that Satan is the god of this world, little g. Jesus called him the prince of this world. So Satan does rule over all the fallen governments of the earth. And you have to include America in that. It's funny, when I love this country enough to expose and denounce their sins. And yet in doing that, I've been accused of being a traitor to this country. And most of those accusations came from fellow misinformed Christians. Not that I'm putting myself in the same category of Jeremiah, but that's the very thing he was accused of. He was physically beaten, assaulted, and imprisoned because they considered him to be a traitor to the kingdom of Judah, when actually he loved that country enough to tell them that their wayward transgressions and disobedience to the Lord would bring his judgment upon them. Therefore, turn from your wicked ways, amend your doings, and repent. And that's the message to unsaved America. Turn from your wicked ways, repent, and put your trust in the gospel. And that is the message all throughout the scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But when you can't even teach the Word of God, and even teach controversial subjects in the Word of God that were tolerated and permitted not even 5 years ago, and now you get falsely accused of being a hater and an insensitive, negative person, that's troubling. It's funny because it parallels what the Romans thought of the early Christians. They were accused of being haters of mankind. Did you know that? The Romans and several of Tacitus, I believe, and Pliny, I want to say the younger Pliny, both Roman writers, one of them said, I can't remember which one of them said that Christians were the scum of the earth, and they were haters of mankind. And we see the same thing recycling now. So those who do preach out of love and warn the sinner of his damnable fate if he doesn't repent, people like me who preach that message, we're now deemed the ones that are haters. Yeah, we hate sin. We hate man's rebellion against God. And but August, pray for Dr. August Rosado, because they've demonetized him completely. And he was making a decent stipend once a month, because to his credit, he got over 1,000 subscribers, and that's working like the dickens. And they've demonetized him, and they denied his appeal. So he's got more, I guess, vested in this than anyone else in this situation going on. I've never put much trust in Facebook or YouTube anyway. And I've had people, and they mean well, you need to get on this social platform and that social platform, and that'll get your donations in here. Well, you know, that's really a worldly philosophy. Think about it. That's how secular businesses run. But ministry should be solely dependent upon the Lord, obedience to His Word, and the power of the Spirit. And I'm not saying you shouldn't use business methods for your model of ministry, but don't make the mistake of thinking that's a magical potion that if I get the right marketing tool and philosophy, then I can start getting more supporters. That's worldly. That's carnal. First of all, your support doesn't come through marketing, and it doesn't come through individuals. It comes directly from God, who uses various avenues to provide for you. So, your provision doesn't come from being successful on YouTube and having all these subscribers and making sure you're politically correct and you don't offend anybody. The Word of God will offend. Dr. John MacArthur said it right. He said, I am in the business of offending people. And of course, they were offended by that. Well, why did he say that? Because when you preach the unadulterated Word of God, it's going to offend the carnal man. Nobody likes to hear outside of salvation. Nobody likes to hear that they are a hell-bound, corrupt, condemned sinner that grates against the natural man. But if the Holy Spirit's working on your heart, you get convicted of that and you realize that's true. How do I escape this, the dire reality of damnation? And then you listen to the preacher, believe in the gospel, you see that Jesus is your only hope of escape, and you wisely trust in Him. It's not rocket science here. And that's how things go for those who admit their sin and see that they have an acute and desperate need of salvation, which is found only in Jesus Christ, not the Eightfold Path of Buddhism, not the Five Pillars of Islam, not the temple ordinances of Mormonism, not the seven sacraments or two sacraments of Catholicism or Protestantism. Salvation is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And they censor Augustine and I over that. Can you imagine that? Can you believe that? Yes, I can. Because I saw this coming a mile away. I've probably even said in here several times that I would eventually be censored for what I'm saying. You probably remember that. I've been saying that for years. Well, now it's happened. And then if the Lord tarries, the next thing that will occur will be fines and threats of imprisonment for being guilty of hate speech. So it's coming, folks. And it's not so much about me. It's also about you. Are you ready to pay the price? Yeah, this is a small example of perhaps one would say subtle persecution at a minimal level. But it's the beginning of what is going to come in greater degree. And we need to open our eyes to that and be prepared. And quite frankly, I thought it would come a lot sooner, given the way things are going in this nation. And Europe is far worse, as you know. I watched a video. Somebody sent it to me this week. I forgot who it was who sent it to me. An Irish Christian teacher was being arrested and put in the paddy wagon by the police because he said that transgenderism is wrong. It's rebellion against God's given gender of a person. And he refused to call a man, a biological he, a fictional she, and a biological she, a fictional he. And they arrested him. And now he faces a minimum of 2 years in prison. So don't think that can't come here. And don't think there's just going to be this Christian conservative political party that's going to save you. I'm not saying don't vote. You know, we need to vote to try to delay and stave this off as much as we can. But that's not the answer, ultimately, in the end. The answer is preaching the gospel and looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. By the way, that kind of segues into what I wanted to say. Jesus did say one of the signs, the universal signs of His return would be persecution, with the concurrent rise of false prophets and false Christs in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. He said that, verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my namesake. Verse 10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And so there you have it there, worldwide persecution of Christians and Jews. And we see that happening now. People that you thought weren't anti-Semitism before, who were very eloquent and articulate conservatives, suddenly turn into anti-Semites. That's satanic. And it's a satanic phenomena that is currently and will engulf the entire earth by the time of the tribulation period. These things are not going to just spring up in the tribulation period. As you know, as the old saying goes, prophetic events cast their shadow beforehand. So this right here is a prophetic foreshadowing of the universal and violent persecution of believers in Jesus that will occur during the tribulation period. So what Jesus says here in Matthew 24, 9 and 10, what he says there, this is a precursor of the increasing persecution that's going to come during the tribulation period. So it's on the horizon, and I don't expect it will get better. And that brings me to voicing the solution to this will be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish His worldwide physical political kingdom from Jerusalem. And the church is not going to bring about the golden age. They are not going to convert the entire world. No scripture says that. The Great Commission wasn't given to subdue the earth and bring the kingdom of God down through ecclesiastical effort. No. The Great Commission is given so that God can draw and gather a people out of the world system to form the church. So this whole idea that the church is going to mandate through the law of Moses or through evangelism and discipleship a golden age called the millennium that's spiritualized away in Revelation 20, that's not going to happen. That's what we call post-millennialism. Once the church subdues the earth and brings about the golden millennial age, however long that lasts, they say, then after that, Jesus will approve and come back and we'll hand the reins over to Him. That's not biblical. The Bible tells us things will get progressively worse as we draw near the end of the present age, culminating in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's going to get bad in the world, guess what? Jesus and the apostles said it's going to get worse and worse in the church. We could spend years here documenting modern day apostasy in the church from the Enlightenment to now. We'd never get through that. Jesus would come back by then. And the apostasy in the church is out of control, and it is getting worse and worse and worse. Just go on YouTube and look at these contemporary services in evangelical churches and you're shaking your head. I'll give you just one out of a plethora of examples. And part of my ministry is apologetic. I'm kind of a watchdog. I see, monitor what's going on, particularly in evangelicalism. The liberal churches are not true churches, biblically speaking anyway. They're gone. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. But in the evangelical church, it is really bad. I'll give you one example. A lot of the churches have what's called a Super Bowl service. They come and they watch the Super Bowl. Well, this church did their whole Sunday service oriented around the Super Bowl because it was the morning of the Super Bowl that would later come on in the day. So they've got the pastor dressed up in a football suit. They've got his wife dressed up with a football jersey on, and some of their minions are in referee uniforms. And so one of the stage actors pretending to be a football player has the Bible and holds the Bible down on the ground like it's a football. And then the pastor's wife runs up and kicks the Bible like it's a football, and the other person catches it. That's blasphemous. And I could go on and on about turning the church service into rap, you know, music entertainment shows, and it's just, it's horrible what's going on. If you're interested in seeing some of this stuff in the messed up evangelical church, there is a website by conservative Lutheran, what was his name? I forgot his name, but it's called The Messed Up Church. He documents all this stuff that's going on. His last name is Kozar. I forgot his first name. K-O-Z-A-R, The Messed Up Church. And this, he's documenting mainly what's going on, the apostasy and outright false doctrine and heresy in the heretical church. Now, I know this may be a beating on people hearing me say all this, but it's true. But in the end, it's a positive. Through this negative that we're seeing, these tremendous negatives, there is one glorious positive out of it. What is that? Well, number one, the scriptures are true because they foretold all this would happen millennia ago, and it's happening in our day. So that only encourages us to be thankful that the Word of God is true. It confirms that the Scripture is supernatural in origin. It confirms that its author is omniscient, in that he can look down in the corridors of time and warn his people at the end times of what's going to happen, so they don't become disheartened and given over to despair. And it's also a sign that Jesus' return is much, much nearer than we think. And if his second coming is near, then of course the rapture is even more imminent than ever before. First, the rapture, and the second coming. Those are two different events. I see some well-meaning teachers say that the second coming is in two phases, the rapture and then Christ's return to the earth. No, the second coming is the second coming. It stands alone. It's his coming to earth. That's the second coming. The rapture of the church is separate from the second coming. It's not phase one of it. I cringe when I hear Bible teachers teach that, because the coming of Christ for his church is in the air, not on the earth. So technically, by definition, it's not the second coming, and it has nothing to do with the second coming. So, listen, the Apostle Paul was facing the decapitation of the imperial state of Rome's sword, and yet he could say with confidence that he knows whom he believes in, and he's confident that what he has committed to him will be vouchsafed until that day. Well, what day was Paul talking about when he said that to Timothy? The day of Christ coming for his church to rescue us from this increasing global dystopia. And so these are the warning signs, folks, that persecution is coming to your neighborhood real soon. And if you are an outspoken, unashamed, bold Christian, you will sooner rather than later experience persecution. So again, don't be surprised after I've made this blistering speech rebuking the secular tyrants, the petty secular tyrants of social media platforms like YouTube. Don't be surprised if they also remove me from their YouTube channel, because I'm associated with Dr. August Rosado, whom they've taken out, and I proudly will stand with him because they're doing it to me as well. And we put a lot of hard work in those videos, a lot of sweat, a lot of effort, bringing exhaustion, and but it was worth it. And we will try to restore those videos in the future. We've got to find out which 12 they took down. They didn't give any specific reasons. So anyway, let me just end by saying this. We know that darker days are ahead, but it will, prophetically speaking, have to get darker before the dawn of the return of the Lord and the inauguration of His thousand-year reign, a literal physical reign, if you read Revelation 20, 1 through 7 normally. The darkness must precede that great millennial dawn. And the fact that it is doing that now in our time is an encouragement that the Lord, His word is true. And when He predicts the future, you can bank on it. The Bible bats 1,000 when it comes to predicting the future. And lastly, that the light of God's coming kingdom is drawing near. So I want to end by saying this, what God told Joshua and the Israelite armies when they were facing the giants in the land of Canaan. The victory was already theirs. And God tells Joshua in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So we will carry out the Great Commission here and in Israel. We will continue to preach the Word of God, exposing sin so that sinners might be warned and turn to Christ for the antidote to their fatal sin. And we do that knowing, of course, what Jesus said when He gave the church its marching orders in Matthew 28. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So, folks, the Lord is with us. He gives us strength to go through the tough times, and especially the tougher times to come. Now that we see the increase in discrimination against Bible-believing Christians by those who are enemies of free speech. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.